Get to smash that like button. Subscribe. We need some subbies. Come on. You can do it. Late night. Woo. Good vibes.
Oh my gosh. Me too, man. What's up, you guys?
Big show, 1983, 911 SC joined. I can't imagine why he's tuning in specifically tonight. Hi, Tom. Just another mic, 911 Mustang, Henry's VW. No, just Henry's W, sorry. I read into that. I'll turn the thing off. All right, start the show. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. Damn it. How does that keep happening? All right. Mrs. Ryan will be here for 1 second while I just turn these lights on so I don't get nuts here. And I will tell you who we are, what we're doing, who our guest is, what we have planned for the evening, all of the things right about now. All right. Hi. My name is Jay Ryan. That's Nicole Ryan. We are the Ryans, and we're going to be your hosts this evening for Late Night Playset. I'm switching my glasses because that's what I do in the beginning of Late Night Playset. Won't you please won't you be, please won't you be my neighbor. Hi, neighbor. I can see you now, neighbor. I've changed my glasses. That means it's time to start the show. Welcome back to Late Night Playset. Welcome back on Instagram over here. Very happy to have everybody here. Eggventures is here. Egg Adventures, of course. Eggventures would be some sort of an egg startup. And that's not what we're doing. Okay. All right, let me tell you about our guest. Let's see. Here it is. Justin Bell. Our guest will be Justin Bell this evening. However, Justin Bell is stuck in traffic. He's on his way now. But there's no sense worrying Jay or anyone else. Chad. Chad got his second vaccine, so Chad's back, which is kind of exciting for the rest of us. I have an extra hand. But for everybody else, we've got a what are you driving today? We've got our what are you driving today to play.
Awesome.
Yeah. I've been out of it this week. I don't know what happened. I watched part of the Tuesday show back, and it wasn't as bad as I thought, but in my mind it was a full-blown kablooey because I don't think on the show it doesn't look as close to the edge as I felt.
Of course, I felt that too.
Really?
Yes.
Off of me or?
off of you.
Oh my God, it was awful. I don't know what the hell happened.
It was intense.
As much as I love my buddy Chris there, he stresses me out sometimes. And it's funny because he didn't do what I anticipated, making it my fault. Get it? Mm-hmm. 100% me.
I do that all the time.
I was preparing for him to be early because previous, whatever, does I don't want to do it again. I don't want to get into it again. Don't get me started. So anyway, Justin Bell is going to be here in a few minutes. I've already talked to him. He's on his way. We've got the Instagram audience, which is just fantastic. Hi, Johnny Ringo. Hi, Skittles Cars. Ron Goodman is here again. Ron Goodman, we love you. How are you? I forget what time it is in Australia, but although I forget, you never sleep. You sleep on the plane. The only time he sleeps is when he travels. Ron Goodman has come out here, well, one time just to do the show. And then another time when we were going to be at the PEC that time. Yeah. Sorry. Too many things going on in my head. I was just talking to Magnus about this yesterday. And I'm thinking that, we should try to do that again. Anyway. None of that was for you. So I don't know why I did it here. I guess we don't talk enough off the show where we could just bring up things. Stalling? Sure. I kind of like these, though, because it allows us to that's one pinstripe, Chris. We even had a discussion about it. He doesn't like the breathing room. I like the breathing room.
He's very go.
And a lot of people are. Most people these days, probably because of these devices and stuff. But I'm
you're very mellow. My old business was fast like that, so I can see it, but I don't fit in it anymore.
And he was making the conversation. He brought up a point about energy matching and how you have to do that with some people and stuff. And I don't feel that he I don't want to make this about him, but I love my buddy Pinstripe Chris. Talked to him the other day about the show because he wasn't sure. He sent me a message back, and he's like, I don't know where the hell I was. He said he should have coffee before the show. I'm saying all these different things, and none of them really matter for now. But I love him, and oh, front door. That can't be. Could it be? It could be. We're letting him in. I hope it is. Oh, well, he is a race car driver, so he could have very well gotten here that quickly.
Yeah.
Anyway, so without further ado, then, I'll just play the video since we're not stalling anymore. What are you driving today? We had, on the Adventures of Jay and Dave, we had the opportunity to drive a Porsche Classic set up 1983 911 SC. In Peru Red. It's a car everybody in Los Angeles knows. It's at Breakfast Club almost every week. Belongs to our friend Tom. And it's just a stunning car. I don't know why it escaped me until doing this video that it was a Porsche Classic car, that it was a Porsche Classic build. It makes it really quite spectacular.
Yeah.
And you'll find that out in the video. So I believe I've got it all queued up here. Without further ado, thanks very much to Guards Rad and everybody else involved. What are you driving today? Roll it out. Ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right. Find some sort of seating position here that'll work for me. The issue is the stock seats are just too high for me, so my head is on the ceiling. Well, I have to kind of do a little bit of this. And there's not really a way around that other than reclining the seat, and I don't like driving that way, so.
Yeah, the issue I had with the steering wheel is it was so big my knees were hitting the steering wheel.
Yep.
You're having the same issue?
For me, the issue is that it's so far away, I could use a spacer.
Right.
And for me to get closer to it, here I am, just touching the ceiling.
Too close.
I don't really fit in it as is. Now, the other thing is, I don't know if there's a way to lower these seats. There might be. And then the other thing is, the owner of this car is significantly shorter than me by maybe a foot or so.
Yeah.
So it's probably perfect for them.
Right.
Car drives really nice, though. This is like a Zuckerman car or a Spike Ferriston car. This is just it's 24,000 miles. Is that right? Are those the real miles?
I think it's right. I mean, it's a 1983 Porsche 911 SC.
Oh my God.
That he got through the factory Porsche Classic program.
Yeah, this car, no wonder it drives like it's brand new. It is brand new.
And it looks brand new, too. The only thing he changed was he went for the new modern Porsche radio.
Oh, the Porsche Classic. Yeah. I like that. I mean, I have no use for it, but I like seeing it in other people's cars.
I do, too.
What does a 1983 911 SC have?
It's a 3.0 engine, and I'll add the horsepower down below, but I'm thinking it's around 210, maybe? Right?
Oh, I would have guessed like 170. I have no idea.
I'm guessing about 200.
Okay. I'm going to say you're wrong. This is beautiful. Yeah, this is a car like Spiker Zuckerman would bring to Malibu Kitchen.
Like a
low mileage. Everything is perfect. Everything is Porsche. Nothing aftermarket.
Yeah. Mechanically feels sealed?
That almost doesn't cut it. It feels brand new.
Feels brand new, right?
Yeah. It feels like you're taking a test drive. Other than like, oh, okay, there's a little bit of... And by the way, I'm being as picky as can be.
Right.
The things that keep it from being a factory showroom car are like, oh, no, there's a little bit of wear on the steering wheel. And like, you know what I mean? You can feel it. But mechanically, is there any kind of play or movement or flex? Like, nothing. Nothing anywhere. And that's, you know, on or off. Usually there's kind of a little bit of lag in the middle.
Right.
There's nothing. It almost feels like a drive-by wire, you know what I mean? Like it's that dialed in. Thank God it isn't.
Now that you push the gas a little bit more, I think you're right. It might be under 210. Well, I thought you were just driving it slow because it's such a
Memories, I think the 3.2s only had like 205 or something, but I could be wrong about that too. Like, it's just nice.
Yeah, look at this interior. It's like mint condition.
Yeah, everything's really nice. The touchability of all really the gauges and everything. All of his little doohickeys and knobs.
Yeah.
Just everything's got a great feel to it. What are you driving today? It's a 1983 911 SC. Came through the Porsche Classic program, is that right?
Porsche Classic.
Yeah, I came through the Porsche Classic program. So this car is like brand new, brand new. You know that little dot on the little
hat?
Yeah, and that's just poking into my...
See, I wonder, this is a sunroof car. If a non-sunroof car, you'd fit better in.
Tom was right. I'm opening the sunroof.
Yeah.
Ah, I can fit. Woo! This is fun. I do fit better in the non-sunroof cars, but the fact of the matter is it's the seats more than anything. I'm too high. And I could recline it.
Is it the big knob thing?
Yeah, big knob thing. I also forget that we've got a big ice thing up here somewhere. Yeah. I don't remember exactly where it is, so I don't want to come in too hot.
And my seat moved forward right when you braked. I thought I locked it in place, but...
Well, you know, like my car, or maybe a car just not quite as nice as Tom's here, we'd go sideways across that.
Right.
No problem. Tom's got a really nice car here, and he keeps it really nice. I have no intention of bringing back any less than we brought it.
The icy patch.
Big sign that says icy.
Definitely
icy.
That's a lot of ice.
This would have gone. Yeah.
We would have gone into that pole right there.
No way. Forget it.
You know, I'm not always into like these stock vehicles that people like take care of, but this one's really cool.
Oh, for sure. But he drives it.
This is the hybrid.
Yes. Yeah. You can have nice things and drive them.
Right. And he's only the third owner.
I believe that. I can't believe there are three at 24,000 miles and this nice.
So did the previous people even drive their car?
I don't know. What did Tom have to do to this? Oh, I guess if he got it from Porsche Classic.
He didn't do anything.
Yeah, he didn't have to. They sold it almost new. That felt good. Yeah, I'll put a little pedal into it just to see. Feels good. It's definitely not, you know, going to win any races, but the truth is you're getting every bit of the 911 experience. There goes Joe's Serenity. Ooh. We have to drive that car on the show.
Yep.
And then I don't know if I told you, I've been talking to, you know, my buddy Tori, who built the, he bought the 906 replica from Ford versus Ferrari.
Right. The blue one?
Yeah. So that car, he sold it, and the new owner lives in Los Angeles, and the car just arrived back in town yesterday. So I'm already trying to get it up here, and I'm already trying to get it for the show. That would be a really fun car to drive.
That would be a very fun car to drive. I mean, that's the era of vehicles that I'm really into, that I've always been passionate about.
And this is literally the one from the movie.
Right.
It's a replica Porsche, but it is the screen-used car from the movie. This is lovely. I kind of just wanted to, just to see how it holds a line. It holds a line better than most. I think it's because he's got the stock tires, and, you know, this is how Porsche sets it up. They just drive great. Again, back to Spike and Zuckerman. They're like, Porsche knows what they're doing. You know what I mean? Like,
well,
you,
yeah,
think you're gonna, you think you're going to do it better than Porsche? So we got on it a little bit there, but we're not flying. I mean, 85. Bad.
Not bad. No, this feels good.
This feels like, you know, it's not hauling ass, but it's like you're not quite cruising either.
Right.
You know what I mean? We're not hanging it out. We're not doing anything like, but we're going to five over the speed limit.
Yeah.
Which up here is great. This gearbox feels great. Feels nice. Nothing to complain about. But it's nothing like that fucking, excuse my language, La Tortuga rebuilt 915. I don't get what the heck he did to that. I don't know if he put a short throw linkage in there or something. I guess we're not driving those today. I thought I was driving that 74. We've got Auto Kennel and Pinstripe Chris in the video. And again, you know, I'm putting a little heat into it here just because we haven't at all, and I'm curious. Just like any other 911.
Yep.
We just, that was Gus Seifert. We just stickered up his 911. He didn't have any stickers on it. We just put those all on today.
That's awesome.
All right. I don't have a tremendous amount to say other than, you know, I like it. It's not a car for me, but I sure like it.
Yeah, I like it too. I don't know if I would own it. It's
right.
Too nice for me. I would want to throw it around a bit more.
Yeah, consensus.
Yeah, but I will say, for a car, this car is really awesome. Is it for me? Probably not.
Same.
This wouldn't be my first choice. I would go for something with a little more age on it, a little more patina, and I'd hot rod it a little bit.
Right.
But this is a really cool car.
That's your personality.
That's my personality.
That's mine as well.
Yeah.
So this wouldn't really, this is not a car that would really be on my radar.
Same here.
But if one fell into my lap, if I inherited this car or whatever, would I get rid of it? No.
Probably not.
It's amazing. It's amazing. The color's incredible. It drives like a new old 911.
Yeah.
I mean, this is really a testament. This whole review is really more about the Porsche Classic program than even the owner of this car.
I'm feeling that way too. Like Porsche Classic, they're very selective in their vehicles. I'm pretty impressed that this is something that is, you know, reconditioned through their program and then sold.
Feels like a new car in here.
It does feel like a new car. It feels like a time capsule.
If it didn't drive like the 911s did when they were new, you know what I mean? If it weren't a dated experience, you wouldn't know.
Right.
Do you remember when the 993s were brand new? You could go to the dealership and sit in them, and it was just like this. Brand new car. But somehow it was all old because it was all of this stuff. From the,
yep.
This feels like that. It feels like, wow, it's all brand new. But wait, it's old.
Yeah, the gauges are all there. They tell the story of Porsche. I mean, it's clean. Yeah, it's a cool car.
Would you have this car?
Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe. Yeah. Is it an awesome car?
Oh my God.
Yes.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Will I probably look at Porsche Classic if I were looking for something like this? I probably would.
Yeah, if you're in the market for this type of car, where it is the mileage almost
this
doesn't
pristine.
Matter, but this type of an end result,
mm-hmm.
Porsche Classic all the way.
Yeah, Porsche Classic, good job.
All right. With that, Mrs.
Yes,
we've had a guest arrive in the meantime. Yay. Since that video. But how about that? Thank you so much to Guards Rad. Thank you to Tom on the car loan, and then also to Porsche Classic, which did such a fantastic job of setting that car up, making it beautiful for us. In the meantime, JB's sitting here.
Ooh, it's J and JB. Yeah, only just. I mean, I've got to say apologies to you because when I was. Do you remember that scene? There's a scene in Love Actually when the really weird-looking Welsh guy answers the door in his underpants,
yeah,
right?
Of course.
You can visualize that.
100%.
That was effectively me about to cook my daughter dinner, having just come back from the gym. And I just thought, let me just check my social while I was heating it up. And I went, heating up the oven, and I went, what do you mean I'm supposed to be on a show? Oh, crap. That's why I texted you by accident. I almost did saw me do a FaceTime call between you and Johnny. That was me trying to get your number, me trying to make sure, is it live? Should I go?
That was the first question. You go, well, it's recorded, right? And I was like, well, I mean, we do record it, of course,
yeah,
yes,
but,
for posterity.
And can I get here in 21 minutes, in 15 minutes, which I did, including getting pants on.
So we're even close. That's amazing.
Whew, yeah, I don't know. Anyway, well, thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. Thank you to Johnny Lieberman who put it together while
he was
sitting in that chair. He said, hey, have you had Justin Bell on? My buddy Justin Bell would be perfect for this.
Yeah.
You're like, okay. Well,
wow, even if he's got clothes on. Yeah.
Yeah. Even if he doesn't have clothes on.
Anyway, I'm here now. I'm relaxed. Anyway, what are we doing?
You got here before we started playing that video.
Mm-hmm.
Can we talk about that?
That was special. Yeah, I have an F-150 truck. And
you what? That's what
yeah,
you're in.
And it was obnoxiously carving its way from Sherman Oaks to here. But I did it. And what a great set. I can't believe. I don't know what city I'm in, but I'm proud to be in it.
There's a reason. Did he tell you anything about this?
No.
It's the original David Letterman set, so that's why the New York buildings are back there.
Seriously?
It's the original. Yeah, this is the original microphone desk
no.
and chairs from David Letterman, yeah.
I might
like
just lick it
ones.
Before I leave. That's wild. That's fantastic. Okay.
Yeah, so the room became, you know, a holder for
yeah.
the stuff. That's why this all kind
I'm
of
really
came to be.
Oh, well, I'm honored. Thank you. Thank you.
Tell your friends.
I will tell all my friends right now. Yeah, fantastic.
So that's the impetus for what and why it's all this way, but I appreciate the compliment of the
yeah,
set and all.
Yeah, I like it. I'm very visual, so... If I can see it, it makes you feel better. It makes me feel more important.
I mean,
and Johnny must have felt really important
because he doesn't get
invited anywhere. So that's really no, he does. He's super famous now.
Tell us, was there any kind of? I mean, you really flew here from.
I really did, and it's a bit off, really, because tomorrow I have a beautiful Targa turning up. That one that
a press car,
the press car, that blue one that you've seen, it's
stunning.
Know everybody's have it,
yeah.
And I lust a Targa. I lust after the Targa, an old one or a new one. And so when I saw that one, you know, I did a little email to Porsche, and they were like, "Yeah, of course you can have it." So it comes tomorrow, which I would have been here. Actually, I've probably got a ticket, wouldn't I? Let's face
it.
Because in a truck, a black truck, no one gives you any crap.
I'll go one further. If you were in that, I bet you wouldn't have even called me.
Oh, there's
you just
no
would have oh, I got to get in the car and get over there.
I would have just made it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be a really nice weekend.
We're not there yet, but it must be nice to have the relationship where you say, you know what, I think I'd like that for a little bit. Can you send it over? Yes, absolutely. Of course we would send it over for you. That must be nice.
Do you know, you wonder at the idiocy of it, really, sometimes, don't you? Because it's putting these valuable cars in the hands of either people that can talk really well, write really well, or drive really well. The three don't always match up. I'm just telling you, which is sometimes the people that can write really well can't drive that well. Some of the people that talk definitely can't write. So, you know, I don't know where I fit, but I think I have a little bit of each.
Yes.
So it is quite fabulous. Last weekend I had Aston Martin Vantage and Roadster.
I saw that on your Instagram.
Oh.
Lovely car.
I have the same
Certainly
initials,
pretty.
So I feel every Aston, you know, James Bond, Justin Bell, JB, I gravitate towards them, and it's weird. The brand don't see that, but I managed to get a car, so it's cool. Now I have a Porsche this weekend. So yeah, it's good. But you know, in this world we live in, we were talking about it just before while the video was playing, there's so much we can do with technology. And what we're able to do around the world, people could listen to this right now. It used to take an army. We can add it. I don't often begrudge getting older, but I really am envious of the 18, 20-year-old, 25-year-olds. Their whole world ahead of them, they know no barriers, right?
We'll have meetings. Anything is possible for
anything.
Them.
We'll have meetings. Tommy Kendall and Jason and I, Jason Jakes and my partner in the talk show, we'll have meetings about what we're gonna plan to do and do some social. And we'll have meetings about those meetings. You know, meanwhile, some 20-year-old kids just knocked out 12 videos while we're still planning. Who's going to pay for this? Or we have to pay for this? You know,
he's out there on a skateboard doing it.
Yeah, yeah. Obnoxiously cool, actually. Mm. Yeah.
Well, that, I think we bring this up a lot when it comes to car design as well, because kind of anything can be anything these days. You can 3D print. If you can think it up and throw it into the computer, it can be real in the flesh nowadays. Yeah. Growing up as a kid with those kind of possibilities, I don't know. When I was a kid, it seemed like there were constraints.
Yeah.
Even if you had all the money in the world, certain things could be done and certain things couldn't be done yet, you know? Yeah. It must be interesting for the kids that are... Have you ever seen a baby go up to a photograph and try to pinch
zoom? That was my daughter. She used to stand in front of the TV when she was little and try and swipe. Because my iPad would swipe, but she couldn't.
Your magazine's broken. Here, give it back, you know?
Yeah, I know. I'm actually in awe of it. The technology, my daughter Tallulah is playing Minecraft, and she's really big on it. And she's live streaming it as well. I wish I knew her live stream handle, and then I could pitch it. She's got a few followers, and she wants more. But it's I'm watching the speed at which she processes and moves her hands and things. You know, she's saying, "Do you get that, Dad?" I'm going, "No, I'm about to stroke out watching you." You know, you're going so fast.
It's a seizure. I'm gonna have a seizure.
Yeah,
me too.
They're brilliant. And in our own way, I'm sure we were. You're younger than me, but you know, I'm a '68 baby, so you know, we had BMX bikes, and then we had the early like weird little video games, and you know,
I was 77, so I was probably coming in on the cusp of all that, because we had the BMX, the big wheels, the video.
But the video games that you get. They weren't video games. They were very, very basic games that we used to play.
In my mind, it was Pong. I mean, I remember the Atari with the Pong, that first thing. I think I did.
Oh, yeah. No, it was definitely probably that. Yeah. Anyway, how we've evolved, right?
I'm so nostalgic. I'm like, well, let's just talk video games for a while.
Yeah,
fine.
I was racing motocross, actually, so I wasn't really a gamer, even back then. But,
motocross? Yeah. You started on motorcycles?
Never touched a go-kart. Not until I was probably 20 years old. Yeah.
Are you like the one guy?
I really am, which is probably why I don't have a jet. Or, you know, and take my dog to Formula One races and stuff. No, because, you know, actually, that's what happened. I remember sitting on a plane. They go, "Oh, do you do NASCAR?" And I went, sweetheart, if I was in NASCAR, I wouldn't be sitting next to you on Southwest right now. That's what I said. Because it's a different thing, sports cars. Because Dad was racing. He was
a little bit of a
little bit.
We can talk about that growing up. Was there a shadow? I mean, can we even?
Was there a shadow? I couldn't even see the sun, mate.
Just a tiny bit.
I couldn't see. I thought I lived in a valley. I thought I was an elf living under a rock. No. Dad, finish the motorcycle. So
sure,
Dad
was
driving obviously all the time. We had lived on a family farm. He got given a little Kawasaki because someone owed him money. Got a little bike. I rode the bike. I was like, I really like this. Next thing is we had bikes. My sister rode horses, horse thing. They were too much of their own mind, you know, and I wasn't very good at looking after them. Got a motocross bike, raced for 10 years. Loved it. And I think it was good for me when I transitioned to cars in terms of traction and competition. And, you know, when you have 50 kids all like slightly deranged in the middle of a field trying to head for a gap, you know, about 12 feet wide, 600 yards away off the standing start, you get real good at standing starts too. So I enjoyed it a lot. But yeah, Dad, the Porsche, here we are, Porsche stuff. I wouldn't know anything else, right? It was...
You grew up that way.
I grew up with
it. In the blood, there's no comparison.
And he would say it as well. While he has this magnificent career, and with Porsche, obviously one more, I think, the big endurance classics than anyone for Porsche and all those world championship races. I had my own personality. I did my own thing. I mean, as soon as I got in behind the wheel of a car, I realized it's what I wanted to do.
So it took you even from the bikes?
Yeah.
That wasn't like a professional thing, or you should get in. You got to try four wheels at some point, son. It
you
wasn't
know,
like
no,
that.
He was really, you know, he didn't really want me to do it. I was doing motocross, and then, I was good as a club level. I was won our little club championships and things. And then this little blonde kid turned up one day, and it was pissing of rain, and he was, and this little blonde kid turned up.
Where you're going.
And he was a little Kawasaki rider, and he had at the time we thought it was fancy, right? He had a panel van. It looked like, it wasn't fancy now by anyone's, but it was enclosed. Ours were all on an open trailer.
Sure.
This kid was just warming up for one of the big international races or something. And on our track, we never saw him. He just took off, and I remember going over the bumps like this, and this little bastard came over the top of me like this, like jumped everything. It didn't go, even bother to land. And I remember going, I should look at that car thing, really. Because, I don't think I'm good enough at this. Yeah. And then I had the chance to go and drive. Went to the Formula Ford Festival, and I'd never seen how people start racing. This is the obnoxious part. I'd never seen it. I'd been to only big races. I didn't know you. It's like, my friend Nick Mason, drummer of the Pink Floyd, his daughter Chloe, we used to hang out a lot when we were teenagers. She'd never been to a pub and watched her dad play. She'd been to Wembley, right? So she sat on the stage and watched them at, the wall and stuff. She didn't know that you started out playing gigs in, a grotty pub. I didn't know you started out in a little Formula Ford.
I thought if you're a race car driver, you're a race car driver.
Yeah.
That's what you
do. I just saw you go to Silverstone and race 1,000 kilometers. Doesn't everyone go to Le Mans? I went to the Formula Ford Festival with my buddy James and his dad. And I'm like, oh my God, these are kids of my age. So I went home to said to Dad, I want to be a race car driver. And he looked me in the eye. Am I allowed to swear? I'm not going to swear. He went, fuck.
Oh, not that
How
one.
Do we tell your mum?
You're going big. No, I'm just kidding.
No, how do you tell your mum? How do we tell your mum? Oh, fuck. How do we tell
Because so, now anyway, she's got to worry about both
of
us.
Now she's got to worry about both of us. Anyway, the long and the short of it was, boom, I did it. Yeah.
And the long and short. Yada, yada, yada. Here we are.
Here we are. I did it. And it was, it was pretty much, let's just say a roller coaster, but it wasn't Six Flags. It was more like one of those, weird gypsy ones you see in a field as a career. But it was a
state to state,
state to state, town to town. No Six Flags for me. But I did enjoy it. It's been a great ride. Yes.
Well, what kind of stuff were you doing when you? I don't know what you even mean by that. But you're a name that I associate with driving a race car. So I guess I mean.
You want to know why I feel.
I'm kind of curious why you would even downplay it at that.
Why would I downplay it?
Is it only compared to your dad? Is that why the curve?
Yeah, let's bring
is
that
so
up
high?
Again. Okay, have you got a therapist? Do you have a therapist around here? Or something? I don't know. I might need it. No, I don't. I don't need therapy at all. That was years ago. That's fine. I need more. No, actually, I always, as I said, I have my own strong personality, especially once I discovered racing cars. I suddenly was like, oh, this is what I want to do. And I then understood my father better. The minute I drove a race car, I was like, oh, I get it, Dad. No wonder you leave, the house and leave us behind.
Interesting.
Because I didn't know what that appeal was.
And, right. Why would you leave the family?
Yeah. Why would you go away so much and all that? As you're a kid, you're like, well, I want my dad around. I obviously knew following him at racetracks, you go to somewhere and he was so well known that it was kind of pretty cool as a kid.
Other people loved him
other
too.
Kid. Yeah, other people. It's a bit weird, and I wonder, I've often sympathized for other kids of well-known people. It's weird calling down a crowded pit lane Dad, because more than one person turns around. So then you end up having to call your own dad Derek, and then that seems, then it's good. Comes out like Derek, really strange. So I got used to the fact that he was well known quite early on. But so here's the way I take it is, I remember a journalist at Le Mans one time saying to me, I was about to get in the Viper, and he was like, so is it tough, being around your dad? This guy's a dick, right? He's a Belgian journalist, and he knows it. I'd say if he was here.
It's no secret.
And he said, do you know what's it like getting in a race car at Le Mans, knowing that you're never as good as your dad? And I looked at him and I went, actually, you know what? I everyone in the world thinks is one of the best. So why wouldn't I think he's one of the best? That's what I thought. What I said was, fuck off. But in my mind, I actually was going, that's a very kind of interesting question to ask someone when they're ramped up. I was amped up. I wanted to get in the car, right? So you don't ask someone that.
No.
But it did make me reflect on it more than once that he's a hero, right? To so many people, and including me, of what he's achieved in a race car. He's won Le Mans 5 times. I won it once. He won the World Championship twice. I won it once. So it's not exactly a crappy career I've had. It's just that he had an extraordinary career. And I couldn't be prouder.
It's a weird comparison. It's apples to apples.
He went
to
Formula One at 4 years after sitting in a car on a racetrack for the first time. He was in Formula One. So, you know, a very, very different era and a different career. We couldn't be prouder of each other, really. I'm more proud of the human he is. He's sort of an extraordinary man. And, you know, he's a great dad. So it's, but the up and roller coaster of racing is the fact that if you don't make it quite, when you're a factory driver, like I was for Dodge for all those years and then Corvette, it's a really nice gig. You know, you get well looked after, you get paid well, and you drive these amazing GT cars. But outside that, it's a bit of a scramble. You know, when you're racing for wealthy guys, it's up and down, and the economy goes up and down.
It's still a hustle.
So it's still a hustle.
Yeah.
So I feel I've had to maybe hustle.
Interesting. And when you're at that level, perhaps some elements are a little
easier.
Yeah, that's a very interesting point. That's a good perspective.
And I always started other businesses. I always did things. I wanted to do the TV thing. So, you know, it's...
That's where I wanted to go. So how long were you professionally racing? What were the...
Probably 25 years.
Only 25
years?
Okay. So plenty. When did you transition full-time to, I would say, broadcasting? Very
hard to say that in LA, isn't it? When did I transition? Well, thanks for breaking that on this show.
We love exclusives here, so can you stand up and turn around?
No. When did I transition to
Well,
TV?
What I'm asking is, there was a period where it felt like you were doing both. So at some point...
Totally.
Yeah, so at some point you stopped racing, but you became like a professional broadcaster where that's what you were doing.
Yeah. I always...
And I associate you with broadcasting versus, although you host things as well, I think of you as a broadcaster.
Yeah, so that's not a bad thing.
It as a huge compliment.
Yeah, thank you. So I actually, quite early on, I mean, I wouldn't have minded to be an actor at one time. You know what I mean? But not when I was younger. You can ask anyone. So that's probably why
you develop it.
Yeah, I'm Benjamin Button. It's going to be great. I'm going to be 85 and rocking it. But
killer.
But it's going cool. Which is better than for most. But anyway, I always did a little bit of TV for, like, people started to ask me to host shows in England, but car shows and things. And
right.
I don't want to. I mean, I even had an early opportunity to do like some Top Gear stuff and this and that. And I was like, I want to race cars. I'm not into that. But I did some different shows. I had a show called 555. Do you remember them? They sponsored all the World Rally cars. Subaru 555. It was blue and yellow. Anyway, I did a show in Asia Pacific driving powerboats and planes and cars.
Oh,
it was so much fun, called Performance World. Anyway, then I was concentrating on
performance
racing.
Performance Wealth. Yeah. Oh, that's hot.
Performance
that's...
Word. World. Should
oh,
be.
Performance yeah. World. I thought it was Performance Wealth, and I was like, well, then you're going to get everybody.
You're going to get everyone.
Whiz.
So then but then it was racing, and then I was actually doing a few little things for Speed Channel once in a while, but of course it's very hard to race.
I used to love Speed Channel.
Oh, I loved it. It was
Wasn't
the best
great?
Thing ever on the planet. And I would do that, and then at the same time, you can't do that and race. So you're not really a sure bet for the TV guys. And as you know, you're in the TV world. They want to know you're committed.
Right.
But I'm still racing.
You can't do the thing and cover the thing.
No, it's very hard to take a photograph of yourself riding a horse.
A good one.
Wow, I just thought that's a pretty good analogy, actually, for me. I can picture it. But I went to... I was racing for a wonderful guy called Roger Schramm, and I was racing his prototype in Daytona Prototypes. And, you know, I could tell my racing career was a little oversteer towards the bank, you know? And
you could feel it.
I could feel it. And I also knew that I believe, could be good at the TV thing. And so I was on and off doing little bits for Speed when Roger and I did Daytona. I had a contract for the whole year. He goes and has a big accident skiing between Daytona and Sebring, like ripped his leg off. And he was a big guy. No contract for the year, right? No more racing. He was done. So I called up Speed Channel and said, listen, I'm available if you want me. And so I started doing pit lane. And I loved it for the IMSA races. And from there, more stuff. And Barrett Jackson and all the things I did. And I loved live TV because it was the only thing that really gets your, you know, gets your bits warm, like driving a fast car.
Why are you going to do it if you're not going to?
Yeah, because the risk, you know, 3, 2, 1. Don't swear, you know, don't stall.
Yeah.
The sun's coming up, the airplane's coming over.
This is
what
why
are
we do it
do?
Live. I'm live. So with you.
Yeah, I am 100% a believer in doing things live.
Everything is spontaneous. If you want to push the smoke button, I genuinely wasn't kidding. We've got bubbles here.
Oh,
this was for real.
Oh, I love it. Oh my gosh. Do you have to?
I'm telling you.
Don't get high and come to this studio.
It is a
fun
time.
Because you will not say another word. So I really enjoyed that opportunity to do more TV. And at the same time, I realized that make the jump before you're pushed to start another career.
You
and
could see the writing was on the wall, so why not write
and
your
I
own
really
story.
Wanted, just being totally open, I never in racing became what I would have maybe started to hope. You always think you're going to be a Formula One driver. I wanted to be a Tom Christensen, the equivalent to that, Alan McNeish,
you didn't
Lewis
hit
Hamilton.
The mental mark
I just didn't. I couldn't have said, wow, my career was the best it could have been, for whatever reasons. And I then knew I'm going to do TV and I believe I could be the best. And I used to be in the driver's briefings. And my Vauxhall Lotus year was Mika Häkkinen and Alan McNeish. I was Camel sponsored driver. They were Marlboro sponsored. I mean, that's pretty stiff competition, right?
Yeah.
One goes on for 6 Le Mans wins. The other goes on to be a world champion, Formula One. I was third a lot, by the way. I did beat them if they had a really shitty day. But I was third a lot. But I never sat there and went, I'm better than them today. I never had that degree of confidence in myself. But when it comes to this, I would actually feel that it could be against anyone. I feel I can do it.
Yeah.
And it was like I kind of came alive, actually.
Oh, God, I love this story.
Yeah.
I love this story. You don't know anything about us, but this what we're doing now is a full 180 transition from what we used to do. We were both behind the scenes people. We had to get if you could call this good at it, whatever this is.
No, you are.
We had to find it. We had to find it within.
Yeah.
And generally, what it was for me was I had to actually figure out how to be the real me when the cameras were rolling.
Yeah.
Were you already natural at that? You are it now for sure.
Yeah.
This is just amazing. How you present yourself feels incredibly natural. I bet you're the exact same when you turn the cameras off. And it took me a long time to get there. Am I right about you?
Yeah, you
and
know,
did
I,
it take
well,
a while?
It did. It maybe not so much for me because I got into the TV because I was a good interviewee. They come to me in the pit lane. They like my answers. They come to me. Hey, because Justin's full of shit. He'll definitely fill 5 minutes in the middle of the pit lane in the middle of the night, right? You know, what's it like out there? Well, I haven't even gotten the car yet, but let me tell you. You know, I'm really good at that, making stuff up.
You're made for this. You're made for hosting broadcasting. Yeah. You really are.
Thank you.
You're captivated. When you speak, I want to just. Okay.
Well, thank you. Which is amazing. I don't have a broadcasting job right now. But that's the nature of the crazy freaking business that real TV is right now. You know, I mean, to answer your question, I found the transition easier. But I also, when it was coming to live TV, everybody was doing it one way. And it was very the blue button standing there, blue blazers, the gold button standing there, you know, while
Wide
crazy,
World of Sports.
Wide World of Sports.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, actually, I'm. What's the worst that can happen? You can't die doing this. And that was in what I used to do, you could die doing it.
Yeah.
But on TV, you can't die doing it. You might not get hired again.
Where's
the risk? So I felt to push those barriers and be cheeky and say things. I mean, the things I get away with because of this accent, you know, like, I mean, someone reminded me the other day, I used to do these live spots at Le Mans. And if you go on YouTube, you can find these Justin Bell's like late night pit walks, you know, go and see the fans. chaos, live TV to America. My producer would go, this is the best 5 minutes and the worst 5 minutes of my career every year, because I would go out and people would be like fornicating on treetops and stuff, and it's all around. I'm going, this is me. This is, and I love the vibrance of live, that live audience.
Yes. They know it's live. Everybody can feel
everybody
live.
Everybody. I used to go up to the, you know, anyone that's been to Le Mans knows it's, the fans are pretty engaged, and they're 24 hours of drinking and noise is a cacophony of like...
Of it's endurance for the fans
It's massive. So I go up to the fan zones and I'd plan my route, like, you know, to have a good offbeat walk, you need to have a little plan so you know you're in ahead. And it was funny because I'd go, I remember one time I'd start with the paddock behind me and I saw these three nice French people, young French guys with two bikes, sort of standing by, sitting down by this lamppost over here. And then I knew I was going to turn around and go this way towards a whole group of people. The World Cup was on. So there were 1,000 people watching the World Cup. And then I was going to go over to the champagne bar. So I plan my route and I go to these guys at the champagne bar, that, check out who's there. And while I'm waiting, a group of English and Danish people, and I'm like, hey, listen, when I come at you, just don't say fuck. And they go immediately. And so I'm like, okay, it's out of you now. I knew this is what they'd do. Then, and then, because... like you say, the coolest people, funniest people clam up when they actually come. And it's a big camera and you have a microphone and everything. So I turn around, 3, 2, 1, you know, hey, well, here I am, high above the paddock. You can look down. Millions of dollars of equipment. There's, meanwhile, these drivers are out there risking life and limb, and some of the brightest minds in motorsport all down there. That is where the money is. But this is where the action is. And I said, and as I started turning around the camera, the three French kids had worked out we were about to be on TV. One was at the bottom of the pyramid. The other was on the, his shoulders. He had taken his shirt off. The girl had taken everything off other than her underwear. And they were all dry humping the lamppost like this. So you know how you have the camera, you're holding. And I'm like, and over, and anyway, and over here. And I did one of those. Because honestly, they couldn't have, the, I mean, the American audience would have loved it. But the producers would have, you know, wouldn't have loved it. And that is why I love live web TV now, because that is what audiences want to see.
Anything can happen.
And
yeah,
anything can happen. And in this overprotected world, why, we're all grown ups. Why are the networks so worried about showing stuff? You know, swear words and life, which is, I believe, why the internet is so popular. We love content on it because we can do what we want here.
Absolutely. You know? Without the... yeah.
And
absolutely.
I almost came in underpants.
You just don't know.
Yeah, just don't know.
Man, you're delightful. I don't care that you were late. I think it's awesome. And in fact, you weren't even late. That's the most amazing part.
I'm early.
Stop apologizing. Did you just got back from Barrett Jackson? You mentioned Barrett Jackson.
No,
before,
I didn't.
But...
I used to do it. I used to do it. When it went from Speed, I was there. I went to Fox. And I got into the Barrett Jackson thing a bit weirdly. I got sort of shafted on the deal by Speed for one of the seasons, that when the IMSA series kind of joined, there were too many players for the field. So, you know, and I was like I was always the oddball. So I didn't kind of get the job straight away in a way, even though the fans wanted it, the powers that be didn't.
That's always how it is.
It's always how it is. Yeah. And I said to my producer at Speed, who, I don't care what it is, throw me in there, because I'll be pissed if I hear someone else is getting the opportunity. Mm-hmm.
You don't even need to pick me, but give me a shot.
Just give me a shot. So I get this call and say, can you be in Scottsdale to do Barrett Jackson? Now, what I know about classic Americana cars and stuff and everything is really very minuscule. But I could be dropped into, you know, a crochet tournament somewhere.
Doesn't matter, yeah.
And I'll swing, I'll run with it,
at
right?
At the end of the day, we're all people. We can all people. Relate.
And you can talk and you do your thing. Yeah. So I loved it. I got there and it was one of the best 8 days of my life. I've never done so much. We do like 48 hours of live TV in 6 days,
yeah. 5 days.
It's a ridiculous schedule. But I couldn't believe it. These cars, and you know, you have no, you know, if the car comes by, you read the front windscreen, you know, you'd start off and go, yeah, well, this is a 1968 Chevelle. As you can see, look at the color. And I go to the camera, you look at that while I read this.
Yeah.
You know, it was just, I loved it. I loved the people. It was a whole different audience. And to be honest, it was the first time when you do racing, you can live at a certain altitude of, you go to the racetrack and you drive these fancy cars, and less more so now, but back then you wouldn't there weren't so many car events.
There wasn't saturated,
there wasn't
like
cars and
now.
Coffee. There wasn't, so you basically just raced fast cars and went home. But now, you know, now there's a culture of it everywhere. And Barrett Jackson was my first exposure to that. And wow. Craig gave me a good opportunity there. And it went for quite a while until it went to whatever network it went. And then
Discovery, you know, or whatever. Yeah,
Discovery.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I got another, you know, another bullet in the head. But that was fun. But they've had me back since to do little odd things. So you never say never.
I thought I saw you on there.
I did a couple of years ago. Okay. Some social stuff. And obviously did such a good job that...
Yeah, that's right.
They must have... You know what happened? Something happened. They didn't...
Oh,
something,
of course.
They got like a double booking, didn't call me or whatever. So yeah, I didn't quite make it through.
That whole network is really fascinating now that it's Motor Trend.
Yeah.
It's
a good word for it. Fascinating.
At first I wasn't sure. And lately I've seen a couple decisions. I mean, I don't know anything about the people that run or anything, and you probably actually do. But lately I've seen a couple decisions that I thought were outside the box, and I really liked.
Yeah.
Including the new Top Gear. I think they've done a fine job with. Yeah. Anyway, back to you. Sorry.
I will say Motor Trend, I think, has, you know, I think Motor Trend when it was small, which it was always big, but Motor Trend in the, you know, before the Discovery was a fast-moving, fast-paced, incredibly vibrant place. I think that it's taken them some time to understand how to have a working relationship with a mothership that big. I think the guys that work there are incredibly guys and girls, incredibly talented, wonderful people, friends of mine. And I do stuff for them.
Right.
So it comes up and they do great branded content and I kind of do that for them.
Having never done anything with Motor Trend directly, we did used to do stuff with Discovery in the past. And they are an interesting entity.
Yeah.
I mean, they're really, really big now. So they kind of really call the shots.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Back to what I said about nimble, fast moving content providers.
Get your iPhone, go shoot. Torque Show. Let's talk about the Torque Show.
Yeah.
Can we?
Yes, we can. My baby.
May we?
My baby. Yes. Shameless plug.
It's a great show. When I found you, when I found it anyway, you guys were going live from the motoring club over in Playa del Rey, which was
totally
super cool. You had the motorhome set up,
and
you guys had the lawn chairs. It was awesome and really, really fun. So I don't know how that came to be, just anything you want to do. Torque Show.
Yeah, so the Torque Show. So I was at the end of when I saw that TV world for me, you know, when I didn't get on the next year with when it went to NBC, the IMSA broadcast. I already had a contract with Michelin, and I could see that I was doing these lifestyle events for them, and I could see that there was the opportunity to do some they were going to be the sole tire provider for IMSA in 2019, and they had all these great things going on. I thought, oh, you need like something to be the glue to hold it all together, all these silos, motorsports. And
you need a ringleader.
A ringleader. And so I had always been told that two things. One, I'd always wanted a chat show, like yours. Second of all, I'd always wanted to have an Airstream as my live stream studio, And then the third thing was, when Tommy Kendall and I would always be, he'd be in the booth and I'd be in the pit lane, or we did some of his show Test Drive together. Everybody was like, you two are good together. You should do something. And I didn't really know him that well, but every time we did something, it was great. So I started pitching him on this idea, and I was working with Jason Jacobson, who was with NASCAR Productions, and he was our producer. Like a lot of young, talented guys, the ceiling starts to get pretty low in an organization like that because the old guys don't go anywhere. And
a rising star can rising only go star, so
yeah.
far.
And we all collaborated on a bit, and I was definitely the mastermind, if you like. It was my project, and I got Michelin, and there came a point where Tommy said, you know, if I get offered an NBC contract, because we all didn't know who was getting it. He said, I'd rather do this with you. I think it's a better thing. Because short term, maybe not, but long term, yes.
Absolutely.
And you know, in the TV world, in the racing world, when you think there's a took back to the NBC thing, you generally get the old, I can't tell you right now if you're in line for the job, Justin. Instead, I was like, and people would be like, yeah, I don't know. My colleagues, you know, my peers are like, Brand Hill and Calvin Fish, they're like, well, we don't know. We don't know what's going on next year. I'm going, someone winked at you, didn't they? It's like someone put the hand on the shoulder, because my shoulders and my winking there's been none of that. So I knew I wasn't going to get it. And so IMSA were amazing. They collaborated. They got us to, you know, they saw the kind of magic of what we were trying to do. No one knew we were going to turn up with this thing, this presence at Daytona. We had this great tent. We had all this set designed. I had this, you know, I was like, no, we've got to make an impression.
That's it.
Because I mean, you could do it just with two chairs sitting, you know, at the side of the racetrack, but that's what everyone else was doing. True. Be what you want to, you know, present to people, right?
What's our end goal here? Let's show them that.
And it really took off. And we're live in the middle of the IMSA paddock. The drivers loved it. We were, you know, the first show we did, think about this at Daytona, we had Elio Castroneves, who's a friend, but he's teaching me to dance on the show. We had Alonso was doing Daytona with the number 10 car. So he came on the set, if you can imagine, because Jordan Taylor has his alter ego, if you've ever seen it, Rodney Sandstorm. He's a driver and he has an alter ego who's dressed like a Jeff Gordon fan. We had Alonso wearing the jacket coming onto our set, sitting there looking like the Jeff Gordon fan. And I'm going, Tommy and I are looking at it, and Jason, we're like, we are nailing this, right? Then, awful, I can't remember his name. Oh, shit, anyway, I'll remember his name. In the wheelchair, had a bicycle accident the other day.
One of the someone in a wheelchair had a bicycle accident?
Yeah, one of the racing driver who lost use of his legs.
Oh, Alex Zanardi.
Alex Zanardi. So Zanardi's running around.
You're the worst.
running around in his thing which is specially designed. And he doesn't know us from Adam. And he heard us talking about he's going to be on the show the next day. Comes flying through the crowd, straight into the middle of the set to say, hey, when am I supposed to be here? We're like, not till tomorrow, but this is pretty cool. Wow. So it went off well. And
Predict that shit.
You can't predict that shit. And it really was amazing. We refined our craft. We had a partnership with Airstream and they gave us a different Airstream, you know, media unit at each race. So it was a lot of work. It took hours to set up and hours to set, you know, the studio. We knew we wanted our own. But let's get to year two before we invest all that money, right? So we then did this other event called the Audrain Motor Week, Audrain Concours d'Elegance and Motor Week in Newport, Rhode Island. Mm. It was an inaugural year. The vision of this very wealthy guy up there.
And I love that city. Where did they do it in Newport, Rhode Island?
All in the middle of at the Breakers outside.
You're
the front
kidding.
Of the Breakers.
Oh yeah. My lord! So right it on was, the Great Lawn.
We had
beautiful
an amazing event. We were very integral part of it, and we ended the year with this as a host broadcaster for a big event. Mm-hmm. And Jason, that's where Jason, by then, by the way, he'd left NASCAR Productions. You know, he left, that happened real fast. He then became, he's a full partner
of
ours.
He bumped his head on the ceiling and said, yeah, I'm
and
out
he
here.
Said, and it was the perfect thing to do. So that we call ourselves, you know, it's like the best of TV with none of the bad bits. Because our technical TD and everybody in the truck, they're people that they've done Daytona 500s and, you know,
more than
Super
capable.
Bowl, more than capable. So everybody kind of wanted to work for us, the camera guys and everybody. It was great.
Yes.
But we used all these very clever remote head cameras and stuff. At the end of that year, I built a beautiful restored 1971 vintage Airstream. And it's this inside that. Mm-hmm. It's a full-blown studio. We can do multi, you know, remote cameras and everything. And so we went to Daytona and kicked ass, and then COVID hit, right? And by the way, the trailer was ready between Daytona and Sebring. I'm going to pick it up and then have to drive back to LA to beat the lockdown. So that's when we went to the Motoring Club. We did 46 live streaming shows from there for IMSA, launched another show with Haggerty called Love of Cars. Just loved it. But we went back to Sebring and Petit Le Mans at the end of the year, and just to be, there were no fans, but it just felt good to be around people. And then to get
in the cars,
and then it was, and then to be back at Daytona and Sebring this year. Sebring the other day was wide open, and it makes you realize why you do these things. You know, to have people right in front of you.
I'm sure
you try doing this. You try doing this with a mask on. You can't read. You can't. I can't see what you're about to say. I can't. I can't see when you're bored. Right. I can't see when I've lost you. I, you know, it's interviewing with a mask on. You know, must be I don't know, dating Zorro. Just crap.
Are you a very intuitive person? Because
yes.
The things you're saying are all between the lines, and most people are just kind of like, what are the words?
Yeah. No, that's it. Yeah.
To be a good interviewer, you really have to be intuitive.
I think
and maybe
you do.
That's also why you're good at the broadcasting. You kind of know how to connect with the audience.
Yeah, thank you. I just think, as Chris Economaki said to me one time, you know who Chris Economaki was?
I don't think so.
He was the first voice ever heard on TV to do the Indy 500. He, for CBS Sports or whatever it was, and he had this really kind of crotchety voice, and he was, and I got to know him as he was getting older, and he was, I said, Chris, how can I be a better interviewer? And he went, you know, Justin, he said, people these days, they just don't listen. They have a list of questions and they just don't listen. Listen, know how you're going to get in and know how you're going to get out. Yeah. And the rest, listen, be interested, you know?
That's Larry King's way too.
Is it? Yeah.
He used to say.
So I try to, but you know what it's like. We have our little marker points and you want to get to where you want to get to. But it's awful if someone has a great question. They're saying, and so when I was 14, you know, and I had this cat, and the cat ran out the door. And the interviewer goes, so when did you get the Porsche? You'll be like, you should know. Don't you want to know what happened to my freaking cat? You know, and people will do that to you when you're getting interviewed. You're like, did you not hear a word I said?
I find that the best shows are the ones where I throw the blue card out and we don't even do it at all.
Yeah, that's but then
what,
you wouldn't.
That's what I find.
But I'm not famous enough. Then you wouldn't know who I was. You
well, no, it. I don't. Well, I don't.
What does it say? Ask Justin about his accent.
No.
Do girls like it?
He sounds funny.
Do they? Yeah.
How'd you get so good looking? No, I just mean that I guess we have people on multiple times now. You know, it's not as much of an interview show as a chat show.
No, I had no clue. We haven't even. Isn't this thing about Porsches? Don't we do something like
that? Yeah, we should talk about it a little bit if you want, but I don't really care. I've enjoyed this.
Yeah. No, I will say, I will. How we got 5 minutes?
5 minutes here.
Long and short, I do love broadcasting. Absolutely love it. Would like to do real broadcasting again, like live TV stuff again. Mm-hmm. We love our chat show. The talk show, we actually are the host broadcasters for Pebble Beach this year.
Oh, my gosh.
Actually, the first time I've told anyone. Properly.
Oh, my gosh. Here
so
we
here,
go.
So here, exclusive on it. Your thing right now.
Here we go.
So can I have bubbles for that?
Very exciting.
I need...
This is very exciting. Here we go.
We are the host broadcasters for Pebble Beach. Bubble Beach. I love it.
Oh, Bubble Beach. Yeah. Oh, my God. The new Bubble Beach Concours.
So I'm fascinated with that. So I really... So we're very excited. Last year, as you know, was gutting for everybody.
Oh, and now,
but I tell you, being at these live events, seeing how people want to engage and interact with each other, with physical, tangible things. You know, I actually said to Michelin the other day, we were having a call, and I said, you know, a year ago, it was all about, so where are we in the digital space? What's happening? How many people are watching? You know, it's like, screw the people that come to the races, because they're not going to buy anything there. You know, I'm not saying Michelin said that, but, you know, it's the whole trend
that was
push, right? The push for everybody was online. It still is. However, I'm telling everybody, people's appetite for human connection, looking in the eyes and feeling each other's, that sounded bad, feeling each other, you know, but feeling the energy that comes off of a group thing. I don't know how long it'll last, but I do believe that if there's a concert on, we're going to go. If there's a car event, we're going to go. Like, look at Cars and Coffees now. Look at everything that's happening.
Yeah.
Make the most of it, people, because it's, with the online space will always be there, but I think our interaction with people is just beautiful.
One thing I noticed right before it kind of hit, everybody was a little too cool for school. Like, there's so many events. You know. And nowadays, you're right. What is it? I'll go. What is it? I'll go.
I'll go to the opening of a paper bag. There. I will. It's fantastic. No, but I love
Johnny
it.
Johnny Lieberman said the other day.
Did he? No, I really. He always, right. He texts me for lines before he comes out.
Oh, yeah.
He really
does. It's
like
does. A comedian thing.
He does. No, but the Porsche thing, just while we're on the show, I got to say, I was at Dad's house when I was back there in Florida for Easter. He lives in Boca Raton. And I looked around his study, and it's just got all this predominantly Porsche memorabilia. Mm-hmm. You know, his pictures of him and driving the 917s and doing the things he did. My first Le Mans was in that 962. I think it is the most incredible brand. And I do love the world that spun off it. I love all the, you know, Porsche Club people. They can be a bit weird, as you know. But, you know,
it's a fan club.
It's a fan club. But every car club's weird, just so you know.
There, that's
the Viper guys.
That's the truth. Everybody.
Yep. Viper guys, they just have more body hair. But, you know, it was. But anyway, so I was excited. I am excited to drive this Targa. I'll tell you that.
Which will be here tomorrow today.
We'll be here tomorrow, yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. What do you do Friday mornings? You should come up to Breakfast Club sometime. That's where Johnny
and I,
Jethro, all those guys come up.
I will.
Yeah, Magnus is there every week. It's fun.
I now know.
Newcomb's Ranch, 9 to 11, every Friday. Good Vibes Breakfast Club.
So I'm going to be there.
It's this.
That's what I want to do.
It's this kind of energy.
That's what I want to do. All the people I like.
All right, I got to do some commercials real quick. Do you mind sitting there while I shut this thing down? All right. Need a lift lately? Cruise into a healthy 2021 with Cruise into Wellness CBD. The cruise is with a Z. As a matter of fact, for appearing in our show, on our show in person, you get a $50 gift certificate to Cruise into Wellness should you want any CBD products. The cruise is with a Z, cruiseintowellness.com. Use promo code LATENIGHT for 20% off your order. And over here, I want to tell you about St. Clair Insurance. We all love that Hagerty Insurance. Check out St. Clair Insurance. They say all that separates men and boys is the coverage for their toys. St. Clair Insurance has coverage for your toys. What kind of toys, Mrs. Ryan?
All kinds.
All kinds. In this case, we're talking about collector cars, or, I mean, it could be anything, your business, your buildings, whatever you happen to have. But check out St. Clair Insurance. Get that Hagerty Insurance. Get your toys covered. Go to coverageforyourtoys.com. Coverageforyourtoys.com.
Coverageforyourtoys.com.
All right.
That was easy for you to say.
And then the last one over here, I got to say this, otherwise they tell me we're never going to grow. Hi, this is Jay Ryan from Late Night Playset, reminding you to please like, subscribe, and comment below. This feeds the internet algorithm and eventually us as well. Be a pal and like, subscribe, and comment below. It'll be fire. Then I push this. Oh, my goodness gracious.
That's the fire?
Well, it's the smoke from the fire.
It's the smoke from the fire. No, I like it. Your lasers. It actually looks like you do have lasers shooting out your bum. I'm sorry, you do.
My wife, the peacock.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Aww.
So there's that, and that's it. I think we're good. We've done the show. Let's see. Thank you to you, Justin. Thank you so much. Thanks to Guards Rad for doing that video, and Tom for letting us use the car, and Porsche Classic, by all means, for being such a wonderful organization within the Porsche organization. If not already, please consider following Ray Schaefer for your backstage pass to all things Porsche, brand heritage, and travel.
Back pass Ray. Is that what we're calling him now?
He's one of my backstage pass. That's Ray.Schaefer. S-H-A-F-F-E-R. We love Ray Schaefer. He was one of our earliest supporters on this. So the fact that we brought up Porsche Classic, I wanted
perfect
to shout
absolutely
out to
him. You know, and you know, at Ray, Justin Bell TV. Follow me on that Instagram, guys. I've got a lot of stuff about to happen. At Justin Bell TV.
We are at the thank yous. Is that the only place? Don't you?
No, at Talk Show Live. Follow the main show. At Justin Bell TV is the other stuff. And I'm a passionate photographer. Go to Leica Racer on Instagram.
Oh.
That's my thing.
I didn't know that. I just follow your Justin Bell TV one.
Yep.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Where are you putting more effort in over there?
I don't know. A little bit of both.
Oh, let's just say. So now you got to follow both.
I got to follow both. Please. Please. Yeah. I know.
Thank you so much for being here.
It's been really a pleasure. Thank you. We'll do it again sometime.
Please come back anytime, please. Yeah, especially now that we know you can
especially
be here
if
in
you
10
got,
minutes.
Yeah, and if you got no, especially when you need a filler. Right? I'm a seat filler.
Marv Albert in the old days. You could just bring him in. Tomorrow we're at Good Vibes Breakfast Club, as I mentioned, up at Newcomb's Ranch, 9 to 11. Next week we've got Kayla, the car girl, and Danny Bodkin from DeLorean Motor Company. Yes, that's right. A blast from the past, Danny Bodkin from DeLorean Motor Company. Blast from the past. See what I did there? Our future will be the past. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow at Breakfast Club.